Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm joined by David Curtin, lobbyist for the Illinois Family Institute. Dave, what do you think the reaction to the Charlie Kirk shooting will be during the fall veto session?
When all the legislators come to town in October, they're all going to be making these speeches about how terrible it was and all the appropriate things. But what we're seeing at the national level, I think we're going to see at the state level, and that is that there's going to be one side blaming the other for the violent rhetoric, the other side blaming it for the assassination.
You think they'll turn down the rhetoric just a little bit for a little while?
I hope and pray so, but in Illinois, the Democrats have not really found the opportunity to turn down the rhetoric because they are in power, and no matter what they say, they can say anything and the media will back them up. Doesn't matter how silly or crazy it is, and the media is afraid of the governor, quite frankly. So in Illinois, we have to listen to that stuff.
Well, will this give Democrats yet another excuse to impose more gun control laws?
It could. They'll certainly work on it, but Democrats have been unsuccessful in moving much legislation. When they do pass it, it ends up in court and gets thrown out. That'll be a next year thing. They might do a couple of things on guns, but in the veto session, they're going to concentrate on just making their statements to people and trying to get some headlines about how great they are and terrible the other side is.
You think there could be any kind of bipartisan effort to get a better handle on social media?
I think so. There's some legislation in General Assembly. It probably won't see the light of day this fall, but that's a really good point, Monty, is that there is really good legislation that there's bipartisan support on that would curb some social media abuses and take some bad actors out. There's some things they can do. They have sat down at the same table and agreed on it and sang Kumbaya. So I think those will come next year.
If they would take some action on social media, would it hold up the Constitution and the First Amendment?
Oh, I think so, yeah, because both Republicans disagree on this legislation that would address social media abuses. This legislation deals with kids getting access to harmful material, and so I think it'll hold up. It basically allows parents to have filters to turn off things that they should be able to do. It requires pornography companies to not have access to our kids.
Big Porn Inc. is not going to like that.
No, but, you know, we can still agree on some things. It used to be 30 years ago when I started in this business, they agreed on that and a lot more. But now, that's about all they agree on.
Well, something I'm pretty sure they won't agree on would be any kind of investigation into the connection between trans activity and these recent shootings.
Right.
And also the impact of high THC content marijuana. Will they dare to look into those possibilities as maybe part of the cause for some of these shootings?
Well, on the first one, no. They have two different mindsets on the trans issue. One side thinks that it's all perfectly normal. The other side says God created them male and female. Both sides are far apart on that, and they're not going to agree on that. They are going to agree on taking care of lawmakers' security concerns. I expect that to come up in the session, in veto session, where they're going to allow them to use their campaign fund accounts to hire security firms or security detail to make sure they're safe.
Make sure they're safe. But what about the public? The governor and a lot of his legislative colleagues don't want the National Guard in Chicago. They don't want ICE here.
Right.
It's a little hypocritical.
It is, yes. It is hypocritical. We all support protection for our elected officials because they are out there. So God bless them. But we deserve protection too while you're giving yourself extra protection. That just doesn't make sense. Governor is concerned about the THC level. It's finally gotten to where some top-level Democrats are concerned about that. And so we've been pushing that issue to regulate the THC level. I don't think it'll get done in veto session, but I think something will get done next year.
Could individual communities act on THC content, that they have a marijuana shop in their community?
Yeah. Individual communities could act on their own to pass ordinances about THC levels they'll allow. it's the wild, wild west at the state level. They have not regulated them at all.
And the governor, I know, wants the lawmakers to take action on the THC content in hemp products.
Yeah.
That's kind of the wild west of
it is.
So-called medicine.
Yeah, that really is, because you're getting into products that kids buy, candy and chips and other things that they'll put the hemp in, and they'll put it right next to your favorite candy bar. So that's one the governor really feels strongly about, we feel strongly about. So you hope that...
We're in agreement with Governor Pritzker?
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things that 98% of the time, no, but there's 2% of the time where he comes at it from a different angle sometimes, that he'll support or oppose some issue, and we'll come at it from another angle, and we both meet in the middle. So
there we go. Getting back to that social media, the possibility of some bipartisan effort to get a handle on what's out there. Are we at the point where we need to, say, call your lawmaker and ask them to do something about this?
I definitely think we're there. We're there. And lawmakers have been pretty serious on this issue, and they would welcome the phone calls from constituents urging them to do it, because that's what they do. They get up on the floor and they'll say, my constituents called me and we got to do this. But if constituents aren't calling, that legislation is still laying on the table, and they say, well, we'll take it up next time. And hopefully they will, but they said that last time, and it's very important legislation to pass.
And when we're talking about social media, we're not talking about, you know, hip-hop dances and stuff like that. We're talking about advocating for violence and stuff.
Yeah.
And sexualizing kids and...
everything in between. Sexual crimes, trafficking. You're talking about a host of things on the internet that we do have the capability of legislatively regulating here in this state if we have constituents calling their senators and representatives. Luckily, both sides are concerned about it, and it would pass muster with the First Amendment.
There we go. Well, this is Illinois Family Spotlight. We're going to take a time out and continue our conversation with Dave Curtin, a lobbyist for the Illinois Family Institute, right after this.
Need somewhere to belong? Try here. We're socialites. Find us at socialites.blog. We aim to cultivate meaningful friendships and create places for people to come together face to face.
We do weekly group, Bible study groups, swing dancing. We even do bonfires on occasion.
We also connect churches via their YA groups in the Chicagoland area.
We want to be the answer to the question of, where do you even meet people anymore? Come find us at socialites.blog. Check out some of the events we got going or any of the groups that we host regularly.
Socialites.blog.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
We knew social media was censoring free speech. Now the social media organizations are admitting it and telling us why they did so. The editorial board of the Wall Street Journal wrote about when the left censored speech. They documented these issues just as YouTube announced that it would reinstate accounts that had been banned under pressure from the Biden administration. A lawyer for the Google parent company, Alphabet, sent a letter to the House Judiciary Chairman, Jim Jordan. It disclosed that senior Biden officials conducted repeated and sustained outreach to Alphabet and pressed the company regarding certain user-generated content related to the COVID-19 pandemic that did not violate its policies. These administration officials created a political atmosphere that sought to influence the actions of platforms based on their concerns regarding misinformation. The Meta CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, wrote his own letter to Jim Jordan and the Judiciary Committee back in August of 2024. In the letter, he admitted that the Biden administration repeatedly pressured Facebook to shut down certain COVID-19 content, including humor and satire. Mark Zuckerberg even told podcaster Joe Rogan that Biden officials would call up our team and then like scream at them and curse them to take down information. We're now hearing about how a few in the Trump administration want to censor certain forms of speech, and those attempts should be challenged. As my mother often said, two wrongs don't make a right. But let's not forget what was done in the last few years by the previous administration, and we should be thankful that social media is now telling the whole truth about what happened. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free booklet on a biblical view on chemical abortion, go to viewpoints.info/chemical abortion. Viewpoints.info/chemical abortion.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, and I'm joined by Dave Curtin, a lobbyist for the Illinois Family Institute, kind of looking ahead to what's going to be happening in the legislature's fall veto session, maybe a little bit beyond. Are they going to get anything done in the fall veto session? It's not about vetoing legislation. Other stuff goes on, too.
That's true, and it's always been that way in Illinois. However, the veto session is for the purpose of considering the governor's vetoes, and because the Democrats are in a supermajority, guess what? There's no vetoes to consider because they all work it out behind closed doors. But the legislation in the past, they've always tried to do things that they call emergency measures if they see something that is very important. I think they'll work on a couple of issues, like the mass transit issue and the energy issue. We're certainly tracking those issues, but we are certainly trying to get them to move on some other issues.
Like what?
Well, they generally don't like to move on, like what we were talking about on the internet issues. We would love to see them move on the
THC content.
Yeah.
And I gather that the idea of passing any kind of pro-life, pro-family legislation, that's going nowhere.
No, I don't think there will be anything that will come up. The one thing we are keeping our eye on is the homeschool legislation to see whether that might rear its head. I don't think the legislation is going to come up next spring at all because it's an election year, and the legislators had a pretty rude awakening when 3,000 people showed up at the Capitol. And they don't want to ruin their reelection chances by bringing this homeschool regulation bill in the spring. But I'm just worried a little bit about veto session, where they might try to sneak it in. We'll be watching for that.
And would it be a carbon copy of what was sidetracked back in the spring?
They would amend it a little bit, but it would basically be the same bill, which requires homeschool parents to show their curriculum and get the approval of the school district before they teach. That's basically the gist of the bill. Yes, it is signing up a new form. They have to sign a form, all that stuff, and that's terrible. But the real stuff is they want to approve that curriculum, and we're not going to have them.
Well, if they're the ones deciding on curriculum, you might as well just send your kid to the government school.
Oh, yeah. That's what they want. It's a way to break the will of the people, and they got a big response last time. They would get a big response this time if they tried it again.
But they get money from the teachers union.
Yes.
And are they still calling the shots on this?
A little bit. Teachers unions kind of backed off on it, but you've got some woke legislators who are really pushing for it. Some of the woke legislators are not going to be in office next time around. They're running for other offices, and they're giving up their seat to do this.
And one could become a judge. Oh, my. And she's the one who sponsored the legislature. Tara Costa Howard, right?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, with this shooting of Charlie Kirk, and now we have coming up, starting in the 27-28 academic year, mental health screenings in our government schools. What could go wrong, Dave?
Yeah, Illinois Family Institute has been a leader on opposing this legislation and just educating all the parents to make sure they opt out their kids from this terrible invasion of their rights when these mental health screenings are deployed in fall of 27. So we're going to make a big effort next year to do that.
Is it too early for parents to tell administrators of their local school, we want an opt-out from this, or should we wait until 27 academic year?
What parents need to do is make sure that their school boards provide adequate notice of the opt-out. A lot of times they'll hide it under another note saying there's going to be flag day at the school. So the parents need to be diligent about knowing there's an opt-out. There's nothing here that is helpful to your child. These mental health screenings take 10 minutes. They are not really mental health screenings. All they're trying to do is trying to see whether your child has some opinions or views that are different than what they indoctrinate in the schools. And
like, if you believe there's just two genders, male and female.
Yeah. They'll say that they want to catch the kids who are the next school shooter, but those kids are already identified by the teachers as having problems, being the withdrawn children. The teachers all know who are the problem children. This is a way for the state to get into the homes via mental health screenings and get your child acclimated to their viewpoints on things. It's not going to work.
Well, If a parent says to their school administrator, I want my kid to opt out of this, surely they're going to push back and say, but this is what we're doing. It's helpful. And maybe we could have helped that kid who allegedly shot Charlie Kirk when he was in high school.
Good point. And that's exactly what some may say. Others, districts probably won't say that, but there are a good number of districts that might, would say that. This actually attracted some Republican support because it was that sort of thing where we were trying to help the identify those kids, and we've got to do it because they're not getting it at home. And so it's a real problem.
But as you pointed out, there's a better way to do this sort of thing.
Yeah, much better way, and it doesn't cost anything. It's to talk to the teachers, who are the kids having problems, and then bring in the parents and put the resources into the allowing the parents to get some sort of counseling for the kids. Parents' choice of the counselor, not the schools.
Yeah, who's doing these screenings? How's it being paid for?
Well, mostly it's paid by the taxpayers. There's a pretty big price tag as they go along. It's the whole educational bureaucracy have their companies out there that make money off this stuff. It's a lot of far left counselors and therapists who in the community who would make money off the business they would be getting from the schools. This is their idea of pushing the far left agenda. So,
one more reason to get your kids out of the government schools.
Yeah, there is not any debate right now about, like there used to be 20 years ago, about how bad the school system is in indoctrinating our students. So it's now a matter of getting them out, and we encourage parents to get them out either in a homeschool setting or a Christian setting. There are ways to do that if you don't have the all the resources. We are encouraging parents to do that.
I can imagine the proponents of this will say, you know, after a year or so, this is such a success. We need to put this into private schools and even in the home schools, these screenings.
The mental health screening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think that could happen?
I doubt it, but we will be making a big deal of it. And I think in this political environment, I think we're really going to connect with a lot of people who mental health screenings, we're the only state who's trying to do this. California hasn't even done this. And it's just a weird thing, an intrusion into the schools that hasn't been tried. It's experimental. And is something that we can raise, particularly since most of our schools are failing our children academically, we can particularly say, if they're failing academically, they're probably going to fail them on the mental health test.
All right, lightning round here. Energy. Are they going to take any steps to lower energy prices in Illinois, or do we have to just live with these failed, crazy clean energy policies?
For most of us taxpayers, it'll be one of those things where we get no relief at all. What they'll do is they'll pass a piece of legislation that'll look good, provide a few people some energy relief. But to answer your question directly, no, they're not going to do anything about it. They're going to double down on the policy they've got now because the environmentalists and the green lobby have the control of this state. And so they're not going to give up control. Secondly, they're just going to make everybody pay the price, and they're going to do a couple things that they can shout to the media that they did, which doesn't really do much, but they can say, we addressed it, and but you won't see your bills coming down.
All right. I was hoping, Dave. I was hoping.
Yeah, we can always hope. So and probably it makes sense. It makes complete, perfect sense to do that, and that's exactly why it won't be done.
Yep. Assisted suicide. We held it off back in the spring. Will it be resurrected?
Yeah, we've been working very hard on this assisted suicide bill, keeping it from coming to a vote. We have been so far successful. We've lobbied every single legislator with a group of other people, and it looks good that we are keeping it at least from veto session. They may try it next year. That's one of those things that we just thank God. There's no reason why they shouldn't have passed it by now because they do have a super majority, but we have the votes to stop it as we speak. But that could change tomorrow, so we keep praying.
We need to keep praying for all this legislation, and I think our Spotlight audience needs to be praying for Dave Curtin as he lobbies these lawmakers. You'd welcome that, wouldn't you, Dave?
Well, I sure would. I appreciate that. You know, I'm on a weekly call, actually, and we do pray for the governor on down through all the legislative members, and we pray for their families. We pray for their health. We pray for their welfare. Most importantly, we pray that they'll grow closer to God, because we know better legislation will come about and a conversion will come about personally for them. And so we keep praying that weekly for all the elected officials. And I keep praying for myself that I keep going in the Capitol and keeping my head up. So,
well, thank you, Dave Curtin. And thank you, folks, for tuning in. Do support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. If you'd like to donate, give us a call at 708-781-9328 or just go to illinoisfamily.org and click donate. There are a number of ways you can do that. Also, go to our events page. We have the big banquet with Riley Games, a Faith, Family, and Freedom banquet coming up November 7th. You want to get your reservation in now. Once again, 708-781-9328 or click events at illinoisfamily.org. And looking beyond, we have a big worldview conference at Belmont Bible Church in Downers Grove. That is coming up on March 7th with none other than George Barna. So go to the website, give us a call. So tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.